Greetings, Christian explorers. Step into Belize's tropical paradise with me as your guide, exploring testaments of God's creation as we uncover the ultimate things to do in Belize. Acknowledging God as the creator of the universe is fundamental to our podcast as we explore the many wonders of the world. Having invested time in researching the history, culture, top destinations, and more of Belize, I present this episode to you today with the intention of arming you with the knowledge to confidently explore the masterpieces and the wonderful destinations of Belize. So, before we can really dive in, for those of you that don't know where Belize is, let's go ahead and find it on a map. It is located in Central America and it's bordered by Mexico and Guatemala. In terms of size, it's about the same size as the state of Massachusetts. Its biomes include tropical rainforests, savannas, wetlands, coral reefs, and coastal mangrove swamps. So this is definitely a very diverse area. Now, one of the things I like to do when we start to explore a place is instantly turn it back to God. And the Bible verse that comes to mind for me is from Psalms 104, verses 24 through 30. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And as we've already discovered within a few minutes of this episode, there are so many different biomes in this country, let alone the amount of animals. So I feel like this already begins to stir my heart towards wonder and his amazing creation. The other thing I like to do when starting off a podcast or even beginning to explore a place is to begin to ponder in my heart how my travels can reflect on the Lord or what I can learn about the Lord in them. So as we dive further into this episode, I want you to continue to ponder as you imagine exploring these diverse landscapes of Belize. How does the variety of God's creation inspire awe and wonder in your own heart? So with those things, I think we're now ready to actually get into the meat of the culture, the history, and the unique aspects of Belize. And we cover these things before we talk about destinations, primarily because we need to understand the community that we're walking into to better appreciate some of those destinations. So let's get started. The language in the country is actually English. So you're in luck, especially as you're listening or watching to this podcast. I assume you know at least some English and should be able to communicate fairly easily with any of the locals. Another thing to keep in mind is some of the cultural etiquette and practices of a region. So in Belize, things don't typically start on time, but it's still respectful to be punctual yourself. Gift giving is not a common practice, unlike other cultures, but using Mr. and Mrs. to show respect to your elders is. Another thing that I really like to dive into before visiting a country is some of their history and religious beliefs. Not only does this better help me understand what the dynamics are of a country, but it helps me be better prepared to witness given the opportunity. Because what makes Christian travel, even in leisure travel, different is that the Lord is with us wherever we go. So having as much knowledge and know-how before we walk in those doors is important. So let's take a look at the religious makeup. 40% of the country is Roman Catholic, 32% is Protestant, and 13% is a mix of Hindus, Buddhists, and Rastafarians, etc. And then the remaining 15% has no religious affiliation. When it comes to this larger percentage of Roman Catholics and Protestants in the country, they can trace their religious roots back to the Spanish and British colonization that brought Christianity to the indigenous Mayans. And in terms of what religion looks like today, there's actually a lot of religious freedom in the country. They are allowed to express their beliefs, change their beliefs, and I know, especially if you're from America or some of these Western cultures, the fact that they have freedom in that might sound a little foreign to us. But there are other countries around the world where those freedoms do not exist. So that's definitely something wonderful to celebrate. In school, they have something that they call spirituality classes. They're non-denominational, and it simply teaches morals, values, and world religions. These classes you can opt out of, but they are offered. That doesn't mean that they're exclusively teaching Christianity, but with Christianity being some of the larger percentages, it gives me some hope. Okay, now the next thing I want to address is that 15%, the 15% with no religious affiliation. This is something when trying to learn more about a country, I think is incredibly important, just to better understand them. And in some of our previous episodes, we've gone over what it means to be an agnostic versus an atheist, a passive or an aggressive non-believer. And we've looked at some of the things that they believe about science and its difference from religion. Well, today, to add some new information into your ever-growing amount of understanding, I want to talk about the history of non-belief, or the history of skepticism. And this largely comes from a book that I'm currently reading. That book is called The Christian Difference, and I'm probably going to keep referencing it in so many of my podcast episodes because I think this is an incredible book. It's a little chunky, but it tells so much good information about other religions and also how we can be witnesses, but it tries to help you better understand their point of view. So, with that in mind, let's walk through the history of skepticism in the world. We need to go all the way back to 4th century BC when there were a group of philosophers that were called cynics. They believed that religion and the fear of death was a folly, and they went so far as to doubt their own 5 senses. So, you and me, I couldn't believe, if I was a cynic or one of those philosophers, I wouldn't have enough proof to say that you even exist because I can't trust my sight and I can't trust my hearing or my smell or touch. Like, you just can't, that was their belief. And from them, philosopher Xenophanes chose to base his understanding of the world rather than our senses on our reality. And he went so far as to disregard prophecy as a means of communicating with the gods. And that is plural because in Greece, they believed in many gods, which we know are false idols, but this is going to start to have effects on Christianity because we know from the Old Testament that there were a lot of times when the Lord spoke through prophets. And if we're going to start inserting this doubt as to whether we can trust prophets, whether we can speak to God, it's going to kind of have some adverse effects. After that, these ideas carried on from 4th century before Christ to after Jesus's resurrection. Even Apostle Paul spoke to Greek philosophers about this in Acts chapter 17. We know this because he talks about the unknown God, because they have this statue there, and he uses that as a talking point to begin to address who God really is. So out of all of this, the many areas of the world began to believe in what is called mysticism. And therefore, science died away because everything's an illusion. We can't trust anything. Something may have happened, like we were doing a science experiment. You had your control test and you had these other tests. And so as a result, we don't know if the results can be trusted because something could have happened and we can't trust our senses anyway. So it was actually because of Christians who believed in a creator and that there's solidity to our world that in 14th to 17th century, the Christians were the ones to bring a lot of technological and scientific advancements, and the rest of the world kind of abandoned science. So that's kind of interesting to me. So around this time, atheists began to take ideas from Christians. And what I mean by that, and you'll see her in a little second as I go more deeply into this, is that a Christian might have this really good idea to better explain God, but they took a piece of it and used it as evidence for something else. So René Descartes, a Christian philosopher, who's known for the quote, "I think, therefore I am," evidence that we exist, they took this as an individual focus. We can focus on our individual reason, our individual focus. It can be all about me, 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 and less about the collective or how we are in connection with the Lord. Martin Luther, who had qualms with the Roman Catholic Church and was concerned about how they were teaching scripture without the grace and forgiveness of God, brought these concerns before the people. What the atheists took from this is it's okay to reject authority due to human sinfulness. And then after Martin Luther, all this war broke out, largely between Christians and Muslims, and we entered what was called the Enlightenment period. And many people out of all this, like there's this tension between different religions, and so they start to reject stories of supernatural intervention and instead decide to base their reasoning of faith on natural religion or on reason. So they were trying to almost protect Christianity in a way, and give evidence that there's a reason to believe this over what the Muslims believe. But the atheists kind of start to play a hand in this as well. And so we have Christians who are being called Christian mythologists because they still believe in the supernatural. And we start to see what we call deists, people who don't believe in the supernatural but still want to hold to some of those Christian ties. Like from America, we have some of our founders like Thomas Paine and Jefferson, and they wouldn't take communion. And this raises some question about whether they were even Christians, because Jesus was born of a virgin and he came and died and rose again for our sins. And without some of those supernatural things, can you really claim to be a believer? From there, we enter the American Revolution, and similar things are happening in France, to the point that philosopher Denis Diderot was the first one to coin the term atheist. Revolutionaries broke into Notre Dame and they worshipped a prostitute on the altar, calling her Sophia, a Greek god of wisdom and reason. So can you see how reason is starting to become something that they're holding on to and saying that Christians seem to be lacking because we believe in supernatural things? So then many philosophers followed, some attempting to protect Christianity against these claims around reasoning and trying to prove that we can reason and still believe in Jesus. and others simply were trying to grasp the world, but their knowledge ended up building a bridge for atheism. Philosopher Hegel created a theory which one can hold to one thing and to another. What I mean by that is, so you can take the best of this thing and the best of this other thing and take kind of bits and pieces of what you like. So an example of this would be the belief in macroevolution, the belief that we can transition from one species to another. A fish can end up on land and it can become an ape and we can end up with humans. This is different than, as we talked about previously, microevolution, where like a group of dogs, we have a golden retriever and a poodle and we end up with a new species when the two breed. Christians believe in microevolution, and we have reference to it even in Genesis. Macroevolution, though, being a separate thing. So you could take macroevolution and macroevolution and the Bible and just take the bits and pieces you want. And his student, Feuerbach, argued that humans weren't made by God, but rather we created God out of our own fears. So all kinds of craziness going down. Some other people then follow suit. Karl Marx, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, and he rejected capitalism and anything else that he thought was holding people back. So he viewed churches to be one of those organizations. Charles Darwin publicized the theory of evolution, and one of his issues with God in this was that God was being wasteful. He felt like there was no proof of God, which probably means that he was an agnostic, because there was too much waste if there was all this evolution happening. And then other scientists published a book called The Elementary Forms of the Religious Life, and this states that religion is simply the means by which society reflects its values. It doesn't mean that religion has anything supernatural, that we believe in an afterlife. It's just a moral thing. And so they're starting to take apart religion using science. And then we also have philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who he once wanted to be a Lutheran pastor, based on his father being a pastor, his grandfather being a pastor, but he lost his father very early on in life. And after that, he became an atheist, believing that there was no God, and that God's dead, and that there's no universal purpose in life. So life is inherently meaningless and purposeless, meaning we only have our existence, which talk about early forms of YOLO and FOMO, etc. So now we have invented, he's invented existentialism. So this all is happening, and it comes to a head, at least here in America, when an atheist lawyer and a Christian lawyer debated whether Darwinism, or Darwin's theory, can be taught in a public school setting. Thus, it created the official, like, ripping apart of science and religion, which, if you remember, 14th to 17th century, who were the leading people to bring about much of the technological and scientific advances? Those who believed in a creator. Christians were the ones to do this, and now suddenly the atheists are saying this is proof that they're two separate things. So now, new the atheists today continue to defend scientific reasoning as the main way of understanding the world, and they try to claim or prove that religion is false based on these things. Okay, so that might have been a little long and run down, but I think it's very fascinating to see how these changes have happened over time. And while you're in Belize, while you might encounter a skeptic and they likely don't know the whole history of how some of their beliefs came to be, and it's not all a universal belief either. They kind of have the freedom to pick and choose what they do or don't believe. I'm hoping that this helps you maybe better understand where they're coming from and gives you some opportunity to better relate. And with that, I do want to address some actual talking points with them. While it may be tempting to be angry at them for their disbelief, I want to again remind you that the person to be angry with is Satan. He's been playing a long game, as we've recounted all the way from 4th century to today, of these little changes and how he even is using Christian leaders to equip atheists, which is really a sad thing to think. But we need to be angry at him and not at God's creation. So rather than being angry at someone and putting up these walls, be open to conversation. I always say this with kindness and love in your heart. Ask a lot of questions. And then what a lot of their basis is that they have proof of reasoning, and Christians, they believe, are kind of living in folly and don't have logic or reasoning. So I think it's important to point out that all of us are broken. We live in a broken world. Therefore, all of our logic can be broken at times, especially when we're thinking about ourselves without law and to make things just for everyone. We would kind of dissolve as a society. So starting with the law and why we need it, pointing out that Jesus came not so that we are stuck in shame for the things that we've done wrong, but to better understand who he is, what his love is, and that he's trying to restore a perfect creation, not just in our lifetime, but in eternity. And those can be some good starting talking points. But as important as all of that is, I think we are ready now to fully explore Belize and see some of the cool wonders there. I actually have five places that I would recommend seeing if you go to Belize. So let's take a look. The first one is the Mayan ruins. Visiting the Mayan archaeological sites like Zunatanij, Caracol, and Altunha, these sites offer a glimpse into Belize's rich pre-Columbian history and provide stunning views from atop the Mayan pyramids. Then I would recommend visiting the Belize Barrier Reef or the Great Blue Hole. It's a great place to go snorkeling, scuba diving, and it's a 400-foot deep sinkhole with a lot of unique marine life, so definitely check that out. Another thing I recommend would be to embark on a riverboat journey to the ancient Mayan city of Limani. This archaeological site is surrounded by jungle and boasts impressive temples and well-preserved Mayan architecture. Visitors can explore the ruins of this once great city, and including the impressive temple of the Jaguar. So if that sounds kind of, I don't know, I start picturing Indiana Jones when I think of that. Another thing to check out would be the Cay Cocker and the Ambergris Cay. These islands are ideal for relaxing on white sandy beaches, enjoying water activities, and experiencing the laid-back Caribbean vibe. You can go snorkeling, diving, or simply unwind by the sea. And last but certainly not least, we have Coxcomb Basin Wildlife Sanctuary. This is known as the world's first jaguar preserve. The sanctuary offers hiking trails through lush rainforests and opportunities for wildlife spotting. You might not see a jaguar, but you'll likely spot some fascinating creatures for sure. And so as you are exploring these sites, getting to see our incredible creator through all of them, I always encourage you to be looking for opportunities to continue to grow with the Lord. And a few tips I have for that. First of all, especially as these are English spoken worship services, to find a local congregation and attend a worship service. Not only can you encourage them in their faith walk, but they may encourage you. And who knows what the Lord might teach you from the slightly unique or different things about their own worship services. Some other ideas, especially because there's so many rainforests and jungles, what if you got to have some devotional journaling time as you hammocked in the rainforest? How cool would that be? Or what if you got to sing some worship songs while on a boat or driving through some of those unique landscapes? And then as I start in the beginning, I love to end with a reflection question for you as well, especially if you actually get to go to Belize. One of the things you might notice is some of the differences in terms of wealth, living, the means which they live by. And I think this brings some tension to our Christian walk. So as you may find yourself comparing some of the blessings God has given you versus some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Belize, how do we navigate that with sensitivity, and how can we use that as a way of reminding us of the blessing God gives us and how our means are not necessarily just our own? God gives us things so that we can use him to honor and worship him. So in conclusion, Belize is definitely an incredible place. I hope that you feel equipped to be a witness if given the opportunity, and that you will know some cool places to go visit. For a full travel guide and our itinerary, you can find that at our website at christiantravelers.net. It's under our directory and resource tabs for our members. It is currently a 50% off discount to become a member. So the annual membership is $15 a year. So it's 50% off, and I recommend you go join the community today to find other Christian travelers who might want to explore Belize with you. I also don't want to miss this opportunity to mention that some of the members on our site have already began planning trips and events. Some of them include winter jam and hiking, beach and Bible study, two women's retreats hosted by Kenzie from Kansas, Immortal Rock Fest, and more. Check it out on our website. So I want to end with prayer, and thank you so much for tuning in today. So let's join together in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful country of Belize. Lord, I ask that you bless these listeners that have tuned in today, that their travels may reflect you. Lord, be with the locals in Belize, that you may keep them safe, that you may surround them with incredible role models, and that in all of this, they may get to know you as their creator even more closely. All this and more we pray in your precious name. Amen. Well, Christian travelers, thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, safe travels and God bless.